Okay, we're in a new preaching series today. I'm really excited. The title of this series is called Choose Jesus. And what we're going to do over the next 5 weeks, over the summer, over this little period, is we're going to focus on Jesus in the Gospels. You know, Hope Church is all about Jesus. You say, what you're about, what's Hope Church about? When you touch it, when you encounter Sunday mornings, community groups, prayer meetings, or outreach, or whatever it may be, well, we're about Jesus. That's what we're about. Crazy about Jesus who died for us and gave up everything for us. And the title of this series is called Choose Jesus. And if you're not a Christian here today, if you've never put your faith and trust in Jesus, then there's an opportunity, there will be an opportunity to do that, to choose Jesus. And if you are a Christian, if you've made that decision to follow Jesus at some point in your life, then my challenge to you is to choose Jesus every day, in every circumstance, whether things are going well or things are a struggle, to choose Jesus. And we're going to look at a story in the Gospel of Mark, chapter 5. We're going to read it straight off in a moment, chapter 5, starting at verse 25. And we're going to look with this title, Choose Jesus, about a woman who did exactly that. Just to give you the context as we come to this passage, great crowds had been following Jesus. Jesus had been doing miracles and teaching, and great crowds were following him. Just a few verses before, Jairus, a synagogue leader, a very important man, comes up to Jesus and says, my daughter is dying. Could you come to my house and pray for her? And Jesus agrees that he will go to Jairus's house. On the way to Jairus's house, with a big crowd following him, we read in Mark 5 and verse 25. A woman was there who'd been subject to bleeding for 12 years. She had suffered a great deal under the care of many doctors and had spent all she had. Yet instead of getting better, she grew worse. When she heard about Jesus, she came up behind him in the crowd and touched his cloak. Because she thought, if I just touch his clothes, I will be healed. Immediately, her bleeding stopped, and she felt in her body that she was freed from her suffering. At once, Jesus realized that power had gone out from him. He turned round in the crowd and asked, who touched my clothes? You see the people crowding against you, his disciples answered. And yet you ask, who touched me? But Jesus kept looking around to see who had done it. Then the woman, knowing what had happened to her, came and fell at his feet and, trembling with fear, told Jesus the whole truth. He said to her, daughter, your faith has healed you. Go in peace and be freed from your suffering. This woman who is not named. It's interesting. Jairus, the synagogue leader, is named. This woman is not named. But this woman pushes through the crowd, touches Jesus, and is healed. I want to start off by talking about what are some of the things that stop us from choosing Jesus, because this woman had every reason under the sun to not choose Jesus, to not push through the crowd and touch Jesus. She had every reason not to choose Jesus, but she did. So what are some of the things that stop us from choosing Jesus? Well, I think one of the biggest things is the past and disappointments that we have suffered. This woman had suffered 12 years from this issue of bleeding. In verse 26, it's very dramatic in the Greek. It says that she had suffered much, she had exhausted all her money, and she was getting worse. That's the situation that she was in. In verse 29, when it talks about the fact that she was healed from her disease, that word in the Greek for disease is like a living torment. So for 12 years, she'd been experiencing a living torment. For 12 years, the doctors had let her down. For 12 years, life had been tough and full of disappointments. She'd been promised a cure, and it hadn't happened. She'd been given hope for the future, but that hope had been dashed. She'd spent all her money on promises that she would get better, and yet nothing had changed. She could look back and say, well, 12 years of my life have been wasted, have been frittered away. You see, this woman had every right to be bitter, to be upset, to feel sorry for herself. But she didn't let the past, she didn't let her disappointments define her. She pushed through the disappointments. She pushed through her past, hurt, and pain, and she touched Jesus. Many of you here will have been hurt, will have suffered at the hands of others. You would have had people who would let you down. You would have had people who would have given great promises which were never fulfilled. You'll look back over your life and see that circumstances have changed beyond your control. You look back and you think, I had money and possessions years ago and now I have so little. Life is not what I once hoped it would be. I'm living with huge disappointments. You have a choice. You have a choice whether you let the past and your disappointments define you or whether you choose Jesus. This woman did not let her past, 12 years of suffering and pain and disappointment and false promises, 12 years of frittering her life away and giving all her money and getting worse, she did not let that stop her from pursuing Jesus. Don't let your past, don't let your disappointments stop you from choosing Jesus. The second thing about this woman that we can see is sometimes it's not the past, it's not disappointments, it's just the here and now. It's just life that stops you from choosing Jesus. You say, I can't choose Jesus at the moment. There's all these issues in my life. There's these barriers, there's these circumstances that stop me from choosing Jesus. Well, let's look at this woman for a moment in Mark chapter 5. Look at the barriers that she faced, and yet she pushed through them and chose Jesus. Firstly, she was a woman. In first century Palestine, she was a woman, but she didn't let that barrier stop her from choosing Jesus. She was poor. She had no money. She'd given that and frittered that all away, spending it on doctors. Her money had gone. She was poor, but she didn't let the fact that she was poor stop her from choosing Jesus. She was an outcast. She was an outcast in Jewish society because of the issue that she had. Leviticus chapter 15 told Jewish society that a woman with this issue of bleeding was to be unclean and was to be set aside from the rest of Jewish society. She was like a leper in every sense of the word. She was ostracized from Jewish society, but she didn't let that be a barrier to stop her from choosing Jesus. And then there was a crowd. There was a great crowd around Jesus, but she didn't let the crowd stop her from pursuing Jesus. You see, everywhere you look in this passage, there are barriers for this woman. There are barriers for her to choose Jesus, but she pushes through the barriers to choose Jesus. Let me tell each one of you, and listen really, really carefully. There is no barrier in life which is to separate you from Jesus. Your race, your nation, your color is not a barrier to Jesus Christ. Your social status, how much money is in your bank or how much overdrawn or in debt you are, is not a barrier to Jesus Christ. What you've done in your past, the murkiness, the dirtiness of your past, is not a barrier to Jesus Christ. Jesus says, come to me. Jesus says, choose me. There's no barriers to the Lord Jesus Christ. And here's what's really, really important. The barriers that we find between us and Jesus are man-made or self-made. They are not from the Lord. You either think there's a barrier between you and Jesus, or you believe that something someone else says is a barrier between you and Jesus. There is no barrier between you and the Lord Jesus Christ. Any barrier that you are thinking of right now is not from the Lord. It is self-made or man-made. So let nothing stop you from choosing Jesus. Okay, let nothing stop you from choosing Jesus. But what does it look like? What does it look like practically to choose Jesus? Well, I think we can learn a lot from this woman, because choosing Jesus is an action. It's the power of one touch. In verse 27 to 31, four times the word touch is mentioned. There's crowds, there's people everywhere, and yet this woman reaches out and touches Jesus. Verse 28, we're told that she touches the hem of his garment. Now, you may read that and think, just touched his cloak or just touched his jacket. But there's a little bit more to it than that. There's a little bit more significance to it than that. When it says that she touched the hem of his garment, it's talking about the tassels on a tallit. Now, a tallit was a shawl that a Jewish man would wear, kind of something that you would wear over your head, and at the bottom would have these tassels, these fringes, these like you would get on the end of a curtain, these kind of tassels, they were the fringe at the end of this shawl. And they were important because if you read Numbers chapter 15, if you've got more time, you can go and reference that and go back and read that. You'll read that these tassels, these fringes of the tallit prayer shawl, speak of the totality of God. They speak of the wholeness of God. They speak of the God of Israel, who gave the Ten Commandments and is the God of the universe. And what you have here is this beautiful picture of this broken woman, this woman who needs healing. And she reaches out and she touches the tallit. She touches the tassels of Jesus's prayer shawl. She touches it. And it's like a picture of her brokenness touching the symbolic wholeness of God. And as she touches the wholeness of God, she is made whole. She is healed. And you see, that's what happens when we reach out and we touch Jesus. Our brokenness, our pain, our illness, our far from God, we reach out, we choose Jesus, we touch Jesus's wholeness, his holiness, his perfection, and his love, and then we become whole. Then we are healed. Then we are made right with God. It's a beautiful picture of her reaching out and touching the symbolic wholeness of God, and then she is healed. You see, when we choose Jesus, there is always action. There has to be something, some kind of action, however small, however teetering, however seemingly insignificant, there has to be some kind of action. The Bible word is faith. Faith is an action word, a doing word. And there's three types of faith in Scripture. There's conversion faith. When you become a Christian, that is the action of putting your faith and your trust in the Lord Jesus Christ. Then there's continuing faith. If you are a believer, a following of Jesus, then you're to continue in your faith. You're to continue every day in following Jesus. There's an action that you take, which is every day choosing to follow the guidings, the leadings of the Lord Jesus Christ. And then there's charismatic faith. There's the gift of faith. There's the action of exercising the gift of faith, of reaching out and praying for someone to be healed, of reaching out and opening your mouth and telling someone about Jesus, of stepping out to be used by God. You see, this woman's one act of reaching out and touching Jesus, her one act of faith results in wonderful healing. She pushes through the crowds, she pushes through the obstacles, and she touches Jesus. My question to each of you today is, what action, what step of faith do you need to take today? And just one more thing to show you from this passage. This woman, she models how we are to be as disciples of Jesus. Just look at verse 27. It's wonderful. It's such a simple, beautiful model of discipleship and action in terms of practically following Jesus. It says in verse 27, she heard about Jesus. So we hear about Jesus. What does she then do? She came up behind him. She then goes to find him. She reaches out to touch him. Verse 27, she reached up behind him and touched his garment, and she is healed. There's this thing, she hears, she acts, and she does, and she is healed. She hears something, and she acts upon that. That's faith. That is faith, hearing the word of God and then acting upon it. Hearing about Jesus and then acting upon it. That's faith. We sometimes kind of go all weird when we talk about faith or try and kind of conjure up this, that, or the other about faith. But on one level, it's ever so simple. We hear about Jesus. We hear his word. Then we actively act upon it. Let me tell you a story that will hopefully illustrate this a bit further. So years ago, I was on a family holiday with my family. We went to France. We did that most years in our teenage years, jump in the car and go over the ferry and go somewhere in France, find a holiday camp or a caravan somewhere where we could hang out for 2 weeks as a family. And we were on this great kind of French campsite. I can't remember exactly where it was. There was all kinds of activities going on during the week, stuff for kids and games and all this stuff. And on one particular night, it was advertised throughout the campsite that there was going to be a big banquet, massive banquet. Loads of food, and you paid your 10 francs. I mean, before the euros, that was it, the French francs. So you paid your 10 francs, and you kind of all in, eat as much as you want of this beautiful French food. So my mom and dad, me and my brother, went to the big kind of hall where this banquet was taking place, and we were kind of early, and we were eager, and we hadn't eaten since lunchtime, and we were like really ravenous teenagers, just couldn't wait to eat. And we saw this beautiful display of food. I mean, there was everything there. There was meats, there was fish, there was cheeses, breads. I mean, I'm going to make you hungry here, but there was everything under the sun. All this massive, wonderful banquet of food laid out. Mouth-watering. But here was the problem. No one said when this was going to start. And my mom and dad were being very kind of English and very kind of like reserved and saying, no, you can't go and eat anything until we're told, until someone else starts, then you can. And so the time went on, 10 minutes, half an hour, an hour later, this massive amount of food is there and we're like chomping at the bit, just waiting to go and eat. And my mom and dad go, no, you can't. No, you have to be told. There has to be an announcement or someone else has to go. And this was going on and we were just waiting and wasting away. And then eventually this French guy just wanders past the table, grabs a piece of baguette to eat, And as he grabbed that piece of baguette, me and my brother were like, that's it. That's our signal. We're in. So we ran, got a place, filled ourselves and went and enjoyed and stuffed our faces. You know, but we were just waiting and waiting and waiting and waiting and waiting to enjoy this banquet. You see, it's a bit like heaven is, the Bible is described as a banquet. Heaven is described as a place where there is a banquet. And we hear about that. Heaven is a banquet. We hear about that, and then yet we don't always act upon it. If you're here today and you're not a Christian, you may have heard about becoming a Christian. You may have heard about heaven. Well, let me tell you, heaven is a banquet, and my challenge to you is not to wait, is not to hold back, but to take that decision and take that decision to choose Jesus and enjoy the most wonderful banquet in heaven. And for us as Christians, we can hear God's promises. It's like God's promises are laid out before us in Scripture. They're laid out before us like a big banquet, and yet we go, not sure. I'm going to hold back. I'm going to wait until someone else does it. You know, faith is saying, there are the promises of God laid out for me. I am going to delve in and enjoy the promises of God and take those promises and put them into action. You see, that's what we're to do. We're to choose Jesus. We're to choose him. We're to choose him. And that is action. And that is faith. And the second thing about what does that look like is action-based, it's faith-based, it's taking a step, it's touching Jesus. But it's also desperation. It's desperation. Have you noticed that this woman had 12 years of suffering? 12 years of hell. 12 years of disappointments and pain and difficulty. 12 years. Then she hears about Jesus. And then she says, right, I've got to get to Jesus. I've got to push through the crowds. Even though I'm a woman in first century Palestine, even though I'm a leper in the eyes of society, I'm going to push through because I am desperate, desperate, desperate to touch Jesus. I have nothing else. I have no one else. I am desperate for Jesus. And here's what I believe. I believe our problem, many of our problem as Christians in 2019 in the UK, our problem is we're just not desperate enough for Jesus. You know, so often we think, oh, Jesus can wait. Oh, I'll just take it easy for a little while, and I'll just chill out for a little while, and I'll put it off until tomorrow, or put it off until the next day, or I'll live with that pain, or I'll live with that problem, or I'll just ignore that issue, just ignore that need, just ignore that need for a miracle. I'll just put it off. I'll put it off. My challenge for each one of us is there a desperation bubbling up in our hearts for Jesus? A desperation to choose him now. If you are not a Christian, again, my challenge to you was don't put it off for another day. Don't put it off for another time. Make that decision today. Enjoy the banquet. Make a decision that affects eternity. And if you are a Christian, if you are a believer, let me challenge you and say, is there a desperation to enjoy the banquet of God's promises that he's laid out before you? Is there a desperation within you to say, Jesus, I want more of you? Jesus, I'm not happy. I'm not satisfied with how things are. Is there a desperation within you to choose Jesus? Because I think one of the biggest things the culture does in this country is the culture says, just enjoy the comforts. Just enjoy things as they are. You don't need to be desperate for Jesus. You don't need to push after Jesus beyond all other things. And yet we're called to be Jesus followers who push with desperation and action into following our Lord and Savior. My prayer is that, Lord, give me a greater desperation to daily choose Jesus. not to be put off or sidetracked by the comforts of this world, but to be desperately seeking my Jesus and my Savior. Let me finish with this. What happens when we choose Jesus? So we've looked at some of the barriers. We've looked at what it actually means to choose Jesus. But what happens when you choose Jesus? Verse 34 is wonderful in how it sums up what happens when we choose Jesus. The first thing it tells us is that the woman was healed. She was healed of her issue that she had had for 12 years. Now, what's interesting is, in the Greek, the word for healed and saved is the same. There's this sense that her physical and her spiritual body are all one, and this touch from Jesus has brought salvation and wholeness into her life. It's the same in Mark chapter 2 when Jesus heals the paralytic and gets into trouble with the Pharisees, because he's talking about not only the physical healing of the paralytic, but also that his sins are forgiven. You see, Jesus physically heals us, and Jesus spiritually saves us. And when we reach out to Jesus, that is what he does. In Acts chapter 4 and verse 12, it says this, that salvation is found in no one else but in the name of Jesus. We are saved through the name of Jesus. When we reach out and we choose Jesus, we are saved. In Isaiah 53, it talks about by Jesus' stripes, by his death on the cross, we are healed. You see, when we reach out for our healing and choose Jesus, we are healed. There's this beautiful thing that happens to this woman that can happen to each one of us. There is salvation when we reach out and we touch Jesus and we choose Jesus. And there is healing when we reach out and we touch Jesus. What happens when you choose Jesus? Salvation. What happens when you choose Jesus? Healing and wholeness. Second thing it tells us is that this woman not only is healed, but Jesus says, go in peace. Go in peace. I think that's fascinating what Jesus says to her. Go in peace. Your years of pain, your years of heartbreak, your years of loneliness, your years of disappointment, your years of broken promises, your years of disappointment, Jesus says, go in peace. In John 14 and verse 27, Jesus says, my peace I give to you. Not as the world gives do I give to you. Let your hearts not be troubled. Let your hearts not be afraid. Jesus gives us peace. When we choose Jesus, we receive peace. That's not to say that everything is going to be okay. There's still storms and difficulties and pain in life, but you have Jesus with you in the boat with the storm. You have that peace that surpasses all understanding. When you choose Jesus, you are not alone. When you choose Jesus, you have him with you, in you, beside you, fighting for you, able to discuss and talk in the pains of life. When you choose Jesus, there is peace. And then thirdly and finally, when you choose Jesus, there is freedom. Just put verse 34 up if you could, Andy. Right at the end of this passage, in verse 34. You can miss this, but I love it. Because Jesus says, look, there is healing because of your faith, because you've reached out and touched me. I want you to go in peace. And then it says, be freed from your suffering. be free from your suffering. When you choose Jesus, there is freedom. There is freedom from life's pains and life's anxieties. Jesus is saying to her, look, don't no longer be defined as the woman with the issue of blood. No, you are free from that suffering. You now have a new identity as a child of God. You are free from your past. You are free from your suffering. You are free from those labels that society put on you. You are free from being this leper in the social outcast. You are free, and now you are a daughter of the King. When you choose Jesus, there is freedom from your suffering. There is freedom from the identity that the world tries to put upon you. You are not defined by the world, by the past, by yourself. There is a freedom that Jesus gives you as a son and a daughter of the King. Isn't that wonderful? Isn't that glorious? That when you choose Jesus, you gain so much. What did this woman do? All she did in reality was push through a crowd and touch Jesus. What did she get in return? She got healing. She got wholeness. She got peace. And she got freedom. Wow. And you know that same offer is there for each one of us today.